8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Hope you had a wonderful Easter. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Going to win Qdoba today, which is, we're talking about the entree.
Yeah.
Chips and salsa, dessert, drink, the whole thing. From your local Qdoba. And don't forget, Grand Junction Montrose locations are serving breakfast now.
Yep.
One of those great breakfast burritos from Qdoba.
You order it through the app, walk right in. You can pay through the app. You just walk in, and you can politely phrase, give me my food. And then you're done. That's it.
Keeps track of your points.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Double Point Tuesday for Qdoba, so get the app. And also offer up your good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. Whether it's Gonzaga winning on the buzzer beater in overtime, we'll talk with Gonzaga voice Tom Hudson coming up in a little bit.
Pending or Adam Morrison, not still shaking him back and forth.
Screaming in his ear as Jalen Suggs hits the 40-footer to win the game in overtime against UCLA. We'll have Gonzaga, who defeated UCLA, taking on Baylor, who beat Houston in the other semifinal.
Ooh, boy, did they.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. It's a nice,
little
run for Houston. But
I'm glad we had the buzzer beater as the nightcap. Because after that, if that was the first game, then just to come out with that dog that just Baylor just suffocated Houston. That was not a fun game to watch.
It was not. And that's where it was nice to have the drama, right? A close basketball game, double-digit lead changes in the Gonzaga-UCLA game, and then Suggs, of course, hits the three at the buzzer in overtime to beat UCLA. So tonight, Gonzaga takes on Baylor. We'll talk with Tom Hudson, voice of the Bulldogs, coming up in just a little bit. It is Monday, so the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. What makes your list? Talked about Austin Gomber, his Rockies debut. Yikes! Yikes!
Can we send him back? Did we keep a receipt?
What are we going to get, though?
I don't care at this point. I don't know.
Take anything, right?
Yeah. We get the guy who washes the Cardinals unis because their white jerseys look more white than anybody else's. Right?
Sure. I like that. That's as good as anything.
Tide pods or whatever they use.
But remember in spring training when Gomber had the game against, I think it was the Angels, where he gave up four home runs?
Yeah.
Well, just some bad location and one of those wouldn't have got out of Coors Field, and a lot of ballparks, and it was a lot of just very dismissive, I've got this.
It'll be fine.
Horse crap, he's got this. Yesterday, he threw one into center field on a pick play. Oh.
The Cardinals gave up pitching tells you all you need to know about Austin Gomber, right? Even before he put on the Rockies uniform. Because the Cardinals just don't give up pitchers.
No.
Right? And it's...
Unless they're pretty sure that, we've
seen... We've got all we can out of
it. Yeah.
You know, because it's not like their staff is the deepest in baseball either, you know?
Well, and I still, with Gomber, it's probably not fair. I judge him a little bit on this as well. When he made the comment of, well, you know, they had to think an awful lot of me. They're trading Nolan Arenado to get me.
Calm down there, Skippy.
Whoa. Are you really believing what's coming out of your mouth, Austin Gomber, when he said that? Because remember, he said that. And you're just like, man.
To have this guy's confidence.
No kidding. I wish I had that kind of, you know...
Self-confidence. Yeah,
that kind of belief in myself, that almost stupid, you know, total belief in myself that, they're pretty lucky to get a guy like me.
That's something you can say to the boys in the locker room, right? You can't actually say that and be serious about it.
But the boys in the locker room are going to, they're going to start laughing like, really?
I mean, they're going to rag you, yeah, but you got to be joking, right? You can't be serious.
Right. But he was dead serious when he said that.
He wasn't 100% serious.
All right, Phil, good morning, Phil. The good, Gonzaga's in the championship game. The bad, Gomber, it's a terrible performance. The ugly, the front office thinking Gomber was worth giving up a Hall of Fame player in Arenado. Well, he got those prospects, though, right? Got those prospects that are just on the cusp.
But none that the Rockies...
Yeah, I know. I'm being dismissive of
Catchers in the top 11. and of their rankings, and they didn't get any of them.
No. Which, as an area, I mean, I get it that they like Diaz and they like Dom Nunez, but...
Hell, I'm shocked they even got a pitcher back.
I am as well.
Yeah, let's give us three developmental outfielders. Got a handful of guys in your DR academy? Let's get those guys. You want Nolan Arenado? Here, how about we'll trade you Larry Walker's Hall of Fame cap, too. Oh, we already did that.
Oh, and how about not keeping David Dahl? For nothing, basically. A couple
for
million
peanuts.
Dollars. For nothing. He's just hitting .385.
That's Jeff Breidich, smartest guy in the room crap. And that's the thing that's so frustrating is we can find another guy. Well, maybe. David Dahl was the steal for the Rockies in that draft. And he showed it here. He showed it in the minors. And he lost his spleen for the team in Hartford when they didn't get to play home games because their stadium wasn't ready. And then he shows up and he hits. He sets a rookie hitting streak record, something along the line.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
And then his
all-star
arbitration. Yeah. All-star. His arbitration is up and Jeff Bright is like, nah, we're good. Who exactly?
And I get it that the injury history became a problem because we don't want to be hypocritical as much as we are ripping Gary Harris.
Right.
David Dahl had an injury history. But the thing is, we're talking about baseball and basketball, where you could afford to live with a guy that has certainly an injury history on a 25-man roster. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about an NBA team, Gary Harris was one of your starters, a guy that he needed to be out there.
Yeah,
and he wasn't on a pretty regular basis.
A guy who in his first full season as a rookie hit .315.
Yeah.
Hit .273 over 77 games in 18. He was injured. Missed all of 2017 because he was injured. Hit .302 and was an all-star over 100 games in 2019. Yes, there's injury history, but there's also a .286 career average going into this season.
When he's healthy, he produces.
Yeah.
And to just give up, and I don't want to think that if David Dahl was on this team, that the Rockies would have won 3 out of 4 against the Dodgers. No, that's stupid. They'd be better offensively, though.
Their lineup would be a little bit longer.
And a little more pop in that lineup.
Yeah.
All right. So, like Phil sent in today, send us the good, the bad, the ugly, or if you just want to send us a prediction on tonight's game. Who are you pulling for? Gonzaga or Baylor in this one tonight? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Our coverage starts at 5 o'clock tonight for the championship game from Indianapolis.
And we've talked about it for years. It's like, it would be different if David Dahl went into these meetings with Jeff Breidich and was like, I want $14 million per year.
Exactly.
For my efforts.
Then I would feel differently about this, and you would too.
Mm-hmm. Last year for the Rockies, he made $2.4 million. This year for the Rangers, he's making $2.7 million. And it's not like the Rockies are shy to spend money. We've talked about it ad nauseum for 4 years. Last 4 years, they've been top 12 in spending in Major League Baseball. DJ LeMahieu, same amount of money to sign for the Yankees with the Rockies when he wanted to come back.
You know that Dahl wanted to stay in Denver. He didn't want to go someplace else.
How long did it take for him to sign on with the Rangers? What, January?
Let's say Nolan goes, but DJ stays,
mm-hmm. and
David Dahl stays. Don't you feel better about this team?
Yes.
Automatically you do. Doesn't mean all of a sudden that they jump into, hey, they're going to take on the Dodgers for the National League West.
It's not a three-horse race in the West, but the third horse is a hell of a lot closer than what it is now.
The third horse has a far better chance of maybe tripping you up in a series or two than they currently do, as is currently constructed.
They may not make the playoffs, but they could keep one of those. They could probably keep a team like the Padres out.
Just saying that if you have those two guys there still, you feel differently about this team. You just do.
For what, a combined $1.5 million more dollars than what you were going to pay? You paid them their last deal with you anyway?
Exactly. For basically peanuts, nothing.
And on top of the money you're saving from the Nolan Arenado trade, even though you're still paying a quarter of the rest of his contract.
If you get more value in the Arenado trade, mm-hmm. and those two guys are there, still doesn't make you happy that Nolan's gone, But you feel better,
you
right?
Deal with it.
Say you get say you get one of the Cardinals' top catching prospects, and maybe a higher regarded starter back into the rotation. Guy doesn't have to be a guy like Gomber. It can be a one of your minor league guys, but one of your better starting pitchers. Don't you feel better about that? Those two are there. You get some value for Nolan Arenado, and I think you're able as a Rockies fan to move on and feel better about. Okay, hate to losing a guy like that, but I get it. I understand it.
Yeah.
Got something in value coming back. Position players that will address positional needs. And we still have, along with Blackman, you still have, and Story, you've got David Dahl still there, and you've got DJ LeMahieu. You still got one heck of a middle infield.
Right.
It's,
you met, you know, 2 years ago, you had 26, 27, 28, Dahl, Story, Arenado. Now you 26 is Gomber, thanks, and 27 is Story, and he's all alone. It's just
and it's gonna be a matter of time before Trevor Story's playing someplace else.
I still think John Mozeliak had a gun and a note when he got the trade of Nolan Arenado because he robbed Jeff Breidich.
Absolutely,
he took
did.
His pants, the whole thing.
I mean, to only get one major league ready player. And this deal is it was laughable. It's, anyway, we're covering old territory here.
It's one thing to lose a trade. That happens.
But to get crushed in a trade. He got
before
crushed.
It's even final.
He got crushed.
You lost this trade. Well, it's not even through yet. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
The fax is still beeping, and you lost.
All right, let's move on to some NFL news this morning. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. According to Troy Rink over at KMGH, Channel 7 in Denver, that Sam Darnold, not on the Broncos' radar at all. There's been a lot of reports that Denver might look to make a deal to get Darnold because it looks like the Jets are probably going to take Zach Wilson, the BYU quarterback, though Darnold said over the weekend that if he's still with the Jets, he welcomes the challenge of Zach Wilson coming in or whoever they draft coming in to compete for the starting job. But the Jets... According to reports, that they think that Darnold's worth a second or third round pick. But as there's no real strong takers at the moment, a lot of strong inquiry from anybody, it seems, that maybe that price might go down. If that price goes down, say it's even a later pick, say it's a fourth round pick, should the Broncos jump in on Sam Darnold? Or will they? I'm not thinking they're going to... I think they are totally passing on Sam Darnold because I think if he was... He's there for the taking that the Broncos wanted him. I think you get the very strong feeling that George Payton does not view Sam Darnold as an upgrade over Drew Lock at this point in time.
Either that or they can feel they... Or they feel they can get him for much cheaper in 3 weeks than what the Jets are asking for now.
Maybe, but I get the feeling that they don't think he's a better answer than what they've got right now.
Might be true as well.
I think because Mitchell Trubisky apparently had interest in coming to Denver. Felt like, hey, this is a good opportunity. I can go in there, compete for the starting job, but the problem was the Broncos didn't want him. According to one report, too, that Denver was not interested in Andy Dalton. They didn't really have any interest in Ryan Fitzpatrick either, who's now, of course, in Washington. That there seems to be a sense that unless it's going to be a dramatically big upgrade over Drew Lock, whether it's through trading for a quarterback or it's when they draft, then unless they're getting somebody who they feel like is dramatically better than Lock, if they feel it's a lateral move, which it seems like they view all these guys we just talked about as lateral moves, then... Why should we go out and get somebody that we don't think will be better, significantly better than the guy we currently have?
Yeah.
Which makes me think that
they have
maybe it's an Alex Smith just from a mentorship standpoint. Mm-hmm. And if Locke falters, then Alex Smith can come in and maybe keep them in the hunt for a wild card spot.
I think
maybe
what this is doing to me is it makes the potential of moving up that much more expensive. Because if teams know that They didn't bring in any veterans. They didn't explore any trades for any younger guys that are already in the league, a Sam Darnold, those type guys. And they still need a quarterback, then they're going to be coming up. And they want to come up to our spot if we're 4, 5, 6, 7. You know what I mean?
Right.
All this does is make that move more expensive for the Broncos.
Because right now, with what the Niners have done,
just bringing a couple guys in,
they've made it more of a challenge for Denver at number 9.
Yeah.
If a quarterback is what you're desirous of. And then you got the Atlanta Falcons at number 4. What's going to be their direction? Are they looking to bring in the replacement for Matt Ryan? Because you still got some tread left in the tires of Matt Ryan.
You
still got a couple of years with him. You can bring a quarterback in. You wouldn't have to rush him in right away. And you're going to feel like that you're going to be competitive, obviously, with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and mm-hmm. that cast there. And for Arthur Smith. So I think that it'll be interesting to see what they do at number 4. And so what's it going to take for Denver if they want to trade up, if they plan on doing that?
And how far are you going to have to go? Are you probably going to have to leapfrog the Panthers if you want anybody? Do you have to go up past the Lions at 7?
Which they're also indicating that just because they got Jared, it's almost like they had to take Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they wanted Jared Goff, that they're already looking for their next answer at quarterback.
Right.
And Goff hasn't even taken a snap for the Lions yet. And it's going to probably be multiple first-round picks for the Broncos.
Yeah.
To move up from 9 to 5.
And if teams can smell, if the teams in front of them, there's probably only 2 that you might be able to deal with right now, Cincinnati and Miami. If they smell that you're desperate because they know you need an upgrade, but you haven't dipped your toes in the water on any available, whether it be free agent or via trade quarterback, they're going to be able to hold that pick for ransom.
And I've heard a lot of people write about this and say this, that if at number 9, if Denver isn't going to get a quarterback move up or mm-hmm. that they should trade back. Now, if you can get multiple picks, okay, I'm fine with that. And you can build up maybe your second or third round selections. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
But my question is who's going to want to come up to 9? There's going to be a lot of great players available because of the run on the quarterback.
Exactly. And so I think the same thing about Denver. Why would you trade back in that case? Because you're going to have a chance of getting a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You still need help on the offensive line.
Yeah. You can never have too many pieces defensively.
Maybe it's Micah Parsons you want to address your athleticism at the inside linebacker spot. The corners that we talked about, because it's not like Fuller is on this big long-term deal, right?
Right.
As a free agent, it's a one-year deal. You still need to add depth and youth to that particular part of your football team. One of the safeties.
Yeah.
Because Kareem Jackson's only coming back on a one-year deal.
And he's 33?
He's 33. I mean, you still, to me at number 9, you can still get a Patrick Surtain, one of the safeties. I mean, there's going to be a lot of options, or one of the offensive line, one of the tackles. You're going to have a chance to still help your football team at that position. It may not be quarterback, and it may be quarterback in the second or third round. I'm going to keep banging the drum on Kellen Mond, that maybe it's a combination of, like we said before, Alex Smith,
mm-hmm.
Kellen Mond, and Smith is your guy that maybe is, if Locke, like you said, falters, that Smith can steer the ship. Maybe he's there for a year or two. And you develop a guy like Kellen Mond.
What's your more comfort level? Which is a higher comfort level in a quarterback room? Smith and Mond, no Drew Locke. Or Drew Locke and whoever else that they, Brett Rippon. I'd be more comfortable with Smith and Mond and
I would too.
Cut and bait with Drew Locke.
I still think I do get the strong feeling, though, the Broncos are not saying it publicly, but internally, George Payton's like, we feel Locke can turn it around still. Unless we are that much in love, say Trey Lance falls to 9, which I seriously doubt. And it's hard to know what the Niners are going to do.
Right.
Because as much as the Niners gush about, anyway, pocket passer, and Kyle Shanahan talked about his you know, his love of Kirk Cousins and hope that Cousins would have came there as a free agent, but instead ended up going to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and how they like Mac Jones. There also seems to be a sense from the Niners that they understand where offenses are now going in 2021. It's mobile athletic quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Mac Jones can sit here and say all day long, well, I'm more athletic than people give me credit
Subtly
for.
Subtly athletic.
Yeah. And they're going to still watch the tape of Trey Lance and go, I don't think so. I feel better with that guy running our offense long term. We're going to certainly take our lumps early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that Garoppolo stays with the Niners. They draft Trey Lance. And you've got time to develop Trey Lance. But it certainly seems like unless somehow Denver finds a way, unless they get into the Russell Wilson sweepstakes, or all of a sudden magically Deshaun Watson situation improves dramatically, which
it's going the wrong way
now that the Houston Police Department's involved in investigating some of these allegations. That doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
Probably Drew Lock will be this team's quarterback this year.
They're going to get boxed. I just feel they're going to get boxed out of the five big quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they get any of the five that you're talking about. That's where I'm saying that they look to the second round, mm-hmm. or a guy like Kellen Mond would probably be there, and they feel like that maybe they could develop him, and he could be the young guy that comes in and challenges. And then bring in Alex Smith to provide the mentorship and to be that a guy that could take over if Locke can't truly seize this job in 2021 and develop and have a Josh Allen-like turnaround.
Yeah. I just fear that they've boxed themselves out because they didn't kick the tires on anybody, and now everyone knows they're kind of desperate for a quarterback.
Right. You know, they made overtures to the Lions for Matthew Stafford. That didn't work out, obviously. And that's really been it. Like I said, Trubisky, they had no interest in. Fitzpatrick, no interest in. Dalton, no interest. And so here we are with Denver, you know, the draft fast approaching. What are they going to do at number nine? Are they just waiting for the price and Sam Darnold to go down? And I kind of agree with the analysis too, that is Darnold really better than Drew Lock? Part of me wants to say yeah, because he hasn't had weapons around him. But I can't say that I'm sold on Sam Darnold, that he immediately is a better alternative than what they currently have. By the way, the website Action has the 2021 win total projections out. They have the Broncos at 7.5 for wins in 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's just see what your Browns are. Your Browns are 9.5, by the way.
Sold.
Chiefs 12, Buccaneers 11.5. As far as your win totals. All right, 8:23. And coming up next, we'll talk to him. He had the call of the national semifinal game, that classic between Gonzaga and UCLA. Tonight, Gonzaga trying to do something, and it has not happened since 1976. That is, go undefeated to win the national title. Voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, Tom Hudson, will join us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Tonight on the Team Sports Network, Gonzaga takes on Baylor for the national championship. And joining us right now, he'll have the call on the Gonzaga Radio Network. Tom Hudson joins us. Tom, good morning.
Jim, good morning.
How are things out? Yeah, yeah. I sent you the text on Saturday. Wow. I mean, what an incredible game. That semifinal game is going to go down like the Leitner game. It's going to go down as one of the greatest in college basketball history, of tournament history, and you got to be there and witness it, call it. Take us through what that was like with the Jalen Suggs shot And because I've had a chance to listen to your call, you did a fantastic job on the call of that that 40-footer. But take us through what it was like for you, your perspective of calling that play.
Well, you know, Jim, the play was pretty crazy because, you know, we still had a timeout left. And you know from doing this for a long time, you know, all of the potential scenarios and the way the coaches have been using their timeouts, I thought both teams, you know, they'd call a timeout, drop a great play, a player would make an even better play, and that was going back and forth. So, you know, when he got that put back, and all of a sudden, you know, for just a second, it's like, we're going to call a timeout. But Gonzaga did such a great job of getting the ball out of the net and getting it in bounds. You know, I think scoring on an offensive rebound a lot of times, you know, there's a little bit of a scramble there, right? So now all of a sudden everybody's a little bit off balance. And you're not thinking, okay, jump shot goes in, let's start getting back, right? I mean, there's kind of the putback on that thing, and everybody's just a little bit scrambled, and Chiu got the ball out of the net and got it into Suggs, and, you know, all of a sudden, so away we go, and, you know, you're looking at that clock, and you're like, okay, 3.3, there's time. And, you know, to watch Jalen just kind of weave his way through traffic and get a pretty darn good look at it was something pretty special. And I've been asked if I, you know, I was like, oh, did you know it was going in? It's like, no, I had no idea it was going in. But when he let it go, you know, you thought it had a chance. You know, it's like, hey, this thing's going to be on the rim at least. And then obviously he banked it in, and the rest is Gonzaga and Jalen Suggs history. And as we're finding out this weekend, you know, I mean, amazing NCAA basketball history. There's been a lot of talk about that shot.
Tom Hudson joining us on the Jim Davis Show. Like you mentioned, a little bit of discombobulation on UCLA's side after that offensive rebound. Suggs was able to, you know, for lack of a better term, read names on the back of jerseys. There were three Bruins not even looking his direction when he let that shot go.
Yeah, and I think, again, that was kind of the interesting part is that, you know, all of a sudden, just that split second of, okay, he missed. Oh, no, wait, it's in. We're tied again, right? And just that split second of, you know, not being able to get back in it. Because, my guess is as well, and obviously I don't know, but, you know, when that shot misses, I mean, there's part of you is like there's 3 seconds left in the game. We're down by two. You know, we've got to go get that rebound. I mean, we can't really start going back to play defense because if we do, the game's over, right? So I think it was just the perfect, you know, storm for GU, like I said, because it was a little bit of a scramble. And then, you know, Coach Few has mentioned this a few times throughout the year. You know, they've worked. Everybody has said, oh, Gonzaga doesn't play any close games and they get into a big one. You know, they're not going to know how to react. You know, they work on that stuff a ton in practice. They really do because I think – you know, he understands that we hadn't been in a lot of close games. And so they work on late game situations quite a bit. And, you know, and they didn't have to call a timeout. You know, he said, hey, let's just let it go and see what happens. He trusts his guys. And obviously it worked out for us. So, yeah, there was a little bit of scramble there. And I think it was just, you know, the situation more so than, you know, anybody making, you know, any horrible lapse in judgment. I think it was just, hey, this is what's happening right now. And give Gonzaga credit for taking advantage of it and going down and getting that shot up.
He's the voice of Gonzaga Bulldogs, Tom Hudson, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And I thought a very pivotal play late in that game was Drew Timmy taking that charge. He had the four fouls on him. He was, you know, obviously in foul trouble and didn't want to see him foul out of the game at that moment. But him taking that charge, and they showed the shot of him kind of, you know, looking up like, whoo, you know, thank goodness, you know, it didn't go against me on that one. I thought that was a big moment defensively for Gonzaga against UCLA that led to the, you know, obviously getting the ball back in the hands of the Bulldogs, no points for UCLA.
And you know what I think is amazing, Jim, that made that game so special is that many types of plays were made throughout the game. And you're right. I mean, that was a huge play. Coach Few afterwards was kind of laughing, you know, when he was asked about it. Well, yeah, it's a good play. It's a great play. I don't know that I would have asked him to have done that playing with four personal fouls, but I mean, it was a fantastic defensive play by Drew. Like you said, playing with four fouls, because you could see, you know, he's played so well in this tournament and you could see in that game when he was off the floor, we were a different team because he was really, even when he wasn't scoring it like he did in overtime where he really took over, I mean, he was a really key component in that game. So not having him on the floor, if that would have been his fifth foul, you know, puts us in a whole lot of trouble. So it was a huge play by him. You know, Jalen Suggs' block on Riley, you know, yeah. He's going in to dunk that thing. And Jalen, you know, not only blocks it, but, you know, chases down the loose ball and then fires that bounce pass to Timmy. You know, a huge play. I mean, Corey Kispert with that offensive rebound to tie the game up, you know, late. I mean, there were a lot of plays, Jim, I thought were just so huge. And same thing. I mean, Riley, I mean, how many jump shots did that kid hit? I mean, he just kept hitting shot after shot. It was just – that was a fun part of it is it wasn't – you know, one of those games that we slogged through and both teams were shooting 41% and Jalen threw that one in at the end and you say, well, that was a great game. But then if you start breaking it down, it wasn't. I mean, if you love offensive basketball, I mean, how much fun was that on top of the fact then that those big defensive plays were made as part of the end of that game?
And you mentioned Corey Kispert. I thought when Timmy was on the bench in foul trouble, I thought Kispert did a really nice job of kind of picking up the offensive slack with Timmy on the bench during that stretch, Tom.
He did, and that's the thing I think that you see with Corey, his leadership being a senior. You know, he hasn't shot it quite as well in the tournament as he has all season long, but that being said, Corey has made some unbelievably huge plays for us. And he's making those kind of plays that you look at and you say, okay, he's been our leading scorer up until, you know, two games ago when Drew took it over him, and they're both right at 19 points a game. So he's had games where he's been absolutely lights out. But in these games where maybe, you know, he hasn't gone, you know, 5 of 7 from behind the three-point line, you know, I mean, he's made some big offensive plays at the right time. He's rebounded very well in this tournament, and he, you're right, Jim, he made some big plays for us because, you know, that was the thing. When we didn't have Drew to go to, you know, you can't just throw it in there. I mean, Anton Watson is coming along as a player, but he's a sophomore who was hurt for most of last season. And so he's nowhere near where Drew is right now offensively, and that's not a slight on him.
Right.
He's one of the best offensive posts in the game. But, yeah, we needed somebody to make some plays, and I agree with you. Corey was huge, and it was fun to see. He's a great kid, and did a wonderful job for us.
And then Joel Ayayi had an outstanding game. He had 22 points, second to Drew Timmy in points for Gonzaga. Had 6 rebounds. He had a couple of assists. I thought he played great. Nebhard had the 11 points, but the 8 assists. He had a big jumper at the foul line during one stretch to give Gonzaga the lead back. I thought those two guys also played really, really well for Coach Few.
They did, you know, and I think when you look at what Joel was able to get done in the beginning of the game, you know, he was the guy who was our offense. You know, he was the guy who was scoring the basketball. He hit his first 6 shots. And, you know, I think that that's been kind of one of the things because, you know, you have to imagine, you know, the other teams are breaking down film and they're coming up with a game plan. It's like, okay, we've got to stop Timmy and we have to stop Corey Kispert because he's a 50% three-point shooter, has been for a good part of the season. You know, he's right around 45% right now. So now all of a sudden, if you're going to dare a kid to shoot, and he starts knocking down some shots, oh my goodness, now we're scrambling and now we're having to kind of adjust on the fly because, you know, I mean, Joel's a 39% three-point shooter. I mean, he's no slouch. I mean, he can really shoot it. And so, you know, all of a sudden he got us going offensively. You know, he scrambled around and made some big plays too. You know, he's in there. I mean, he's our second leading rebounder as a two guard. He's led us in rebounding for most of the season. So not only was it his offense, but I thought he flew around in there and was able to, you know, be disruptive. And then Andrew Nembhard has been so good. You know, I mean, he transferred in from Florida. He was supposed to sit out this year until, you know, everybody got the free pass on the transfers because of COVID-19. And, you know, he jumped into the lineup and has just been phenomenal. Obviously not getting the headlines that Suggs and Timmy and Kispert have been, but just steady. And like you said, I mean, those 8 assists, he's got such a good feel for the game. And that three-point shot that you talked about, Jim, I mean, he steps back and hits that thing, you know, over UCLA center. I mean, just a huge shot at that point because the shot clock was winding down. And, yeah, he's done that for us. He's made a couple of big shots this year. So it's crazy to think because, you know, everybody talks about those, you know, kind of big three. And then you look at those two other guys in the starting lineup, and they're pretty good. I mean, Joel, right? I mean, he's an honorable mention All-American. I mean, you're looking at that, and nobody even talks about him.
Right.
And that's how crazy talented this Gonzaga team is.
Yeah, you know, Nimhard's three is like you referenced and I mentioned. I mean, that was a big moment. And those other guys, I mean, yeah, Kispert, Timmy, they get a lot of the run, and Jalen Suggs naturally. But Nimhard and Ayayi both had outstanding games against UCLA in that semifinal. So now we get the chance to see the matchup that was supposed to happen, right? Fourth game of the season. It was supposed to be Gonzaga taking on Baylor. Well, got canceled because of COVID. So now a chance, Tom, for Gonzaga to square off against the Baylor Bears tonight.
Well, isn't it fun? I mean, what a cool thing, because I think at the beginning of the year, if you went back and looked, so many people were talking about Gonzaga and Baylor being the two best teams in the country. And when we were supposed to play that game, you know, we were both number 1 and 2 in the polls. It's actually funny, Jim. I was just going through before I came out here and kind of cleaning out my backpack, and I came across my chart for Baylor that was in there. You know, when you go back and look at it, here we are, you know, now playing for a national championship. I mean, I was getting in a car getting ready to drive over to that game when it got canceled. And I've got my notes, right? I mean, they were the AP, number two team, the coaches poll number one team, and we were, the other group there. And so for it to be able to happen, for both teams to be able to get here is phenomenal. We've got some ties, and that's what makes this kind of interesting, too. They have an assistant coach in John Jacobs, who was in our program, and then Rem Beckhamis, who was a walk-on for us a few years ago, was a grad transfer for Baylor. Our staffs are close, so that, makes it, fun and uncomfortable at the same time. You're happy for your friends, but you also want to beat them here tonight. So it is. It's really cool, I think, to see these two teams. And, the upsets have been fun and exciting, and everything's great. But as we're here now, the two teams that are, what are we combined, 57-2, 58-2? What a great championship game tonight.
And I think if you're looking at tonight's game, and one of the things I think if you're Gonzaga and you're Mark Few, you have to be concerned about is the Baylor Bear backcourt with Macy O'Teague. Obviously, Jared Butler had not played particularly well in the tournament until Saturday when he had 17 points. He hit 4 3-pointers in that game, where Johnny Juzang created some problems for the Gonzaga backcourt in that semifinal game, Tom. I think the same can be said about, Adam Flagler, obviously Butler, Teague, Davion Mitchell, that is going to be a challenge for Gonzaga tonight. For Joel Ayayi and obviously for Jalen Suggs, slowing down that backcourt for Baylor.
It is going to be really interesting because their backcourt is really, really good. And I think majority of games this year that we've played in, you would look at it and you would say, with a pretty good degree of certainty, our backcourt is better than their backcourt. And tonight you're not necessarily going to say that. I mean, these are two of the best, backcourts in the country. And then it's interesting because in this day and age, right, for you and I, Jim, going back, we're old enough to remember the backcourt meant two guys.
Right, exactly.
A one and a two. And now you're talking about, the backcourt being three or four guys in some cases. And so, both teams are extremely talented on the perimeter. And those guys you mentioned are really, really good players. And this is going to be something that I think is going to be a lot of fun for the fans to watch. And you're right. It will be interesting to see what kind of a game plan, Coach Few comes up with to try to slow this team down. They shoot the three so well. I mean, they lead the country in three-point shooting, and so that obviously becomes a concern. It's a great backcourt that they have, and hopefully some of those guys don't get going, like you said, because, they are a very scary offensive team when they're rolling, and then as well as they play defensively, that's the other thing that you see. Because I think a lot of teams we've met, you've kind of thought, okay, they're really good offensively, but maybe have some weaknesses on defense. Or, hey, they're really good defensively, but they don't score it all that well. This team does both. And so that makes this one really challenging tonight.
He's the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, Tom Hudson, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, previewing tonight's national championship matchup between Gonzaga and the Baylor Bears. But I also think, though, you go to the other side of things, the front court with Drew Timmy, with Kispert, that while Cody Riley played great for UCLA the other night with the 14 points and 10 rebounds, Baylor does not match up with Timmy up front well at all.
And I think that becomes a big part of it, Jim, where you look at Drew, and as well as he's played, I mean, those kids, I mean, they are big-bodied, and they are strong, and they are, they're good defensive players. Offensively, it's a little different story. I mean, when you look at, Vital and Thamba, I mean, they don't score it a lot. And that, I think, is going to be an interesting matchup when you look at Drew, because he's played so well on the offensive end. And I think that, if Gonzaga can get him rolling, that all of a sudden loosens some stuff up a little bit. And that, you're right. I mean, I think for GU, you look at it, that matchup in the post, and you have to really like, what they're doing. And then it'll be interesting, too, like you said, with Corey Kispert, and trying to chase him around a little bit, because starting him, at the four gives Gonzaga some advantages, I think. And then what's interesting is, Corey's big and strong enough, to be able to get in there and dig out rebounds and be strong and play defense. So, I think that'll be interesting. And then with Corey, too, I think it'll be interesting if, they bring Matt Meyer off the bench and have him kind of run around and shoot threes. He's a good player. And so, I think those matchups are going to be kind of fun to watch for Gonzaga. I mean, I think in the backcourt, it's going to be fun because that's a lot of guys can really go. And if you're a Gonzaga fan, I think you're going to be looking for Corey and Drew to have big games tonight.
Tom Hudson voiced the Gonzaga Bulldogs with us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network for you. I mean, what's going through your mind? I mean, first national championship game you get to call? What's going on in the mind of Tom Hudson getting ready for this one?
Well, Jim, you know what? We had the one in 2017.
That's so, true. I'm sorry. I forgot. Yeah, it was 2017. Excuse me.
No, that's okay.
Second one. Excuse me.
But I'll tell you what. It's crazy because, you know, I was laughing a little bit after the game with Adam. You know, that 17 run was, you know, I mean, it was nerve-wracking for me. You know, because that team was so good. And we were talking about this is the chance to make it. You know, and so with each big game, the West Virginia game, we won in the Sweet 16. And then knocking off Xavier to make it to the Final Four, and then the game against South Carolina, right? I mean, your hands were almost shaking. I mean, it was so exciting. And then Mo with that last-second shot, you know, we haven't really had one of those since he's been with me. And just all the emotion of it happening in such a big game. And obviously I was excited and nervous and all those things at the same time. But I think I was a little bit more calm calling this Final Four than I was the first time around. And I didn't sleep all that much better last night than I did down in Phoenix. And when we were in Phoenix, I think I maybe slept for an hour, just, you know, kind of staring at the ceiling, and it was all, you know, kind of just in front of you and the potential and, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, I've been so fortunate to be around this program for the majority of this run, and, you know, to see all the people that have been a part of it, to have a chance to win a national championship, you know, all that stuff is kind of swirling around in your head. And so I slept a little better last night, not much better. I actually saved a little bit of my prep. You know, it's a 9:20 tip out here. So I saved a little bit of my prep for this morning so I wouldn't just sit here and think.
Right.
You know? Because it is, you know, it gets in your head a little bit. And you know, and I want to be able to go out there and have fun and call a good game. And obviously you understand the magnitude of it. But, you know, also trying to, you know, make sure that, you know, hey, it's, you know, you're trying to keep it, you know, kind of in line and be smooth and not get too excited. So, yeah, it is. It's amazing. I mean, like I said, I do feel a little bit better, but it's still very nerve-wracking, and I'm noticing as each minute ticks by, it's starting to amp up a little bit here, but I'm trying to keep myself occupied.
So we're making the joke before he came on. Would Adam Morrison be sitting behind you, screaming behind you during the whole interview? Because that was what happened on the final play. Adam just went nuts, didn't he? He just went totally nuts.
He did, and it was funny because I think, you know, it goes to show how much he cares. You know, he's invested in this thing. I mean, he was a ball boy for Gonzaga. Obviously, he played for us. He spent a year on the staff as a grad assistant, and now, you know, being on the radio, it's something that's really important to him. And you know, all of that emotion that came out was pretty good. It was a lot of fun, and it was great to see.
and it was fun to hear as well. And a fantastic call on your part on that Jalen Suggs three, and looking forward to hearing you tonight call the game, of course, for the Gonzaga Radio Network. We'll have Westwood One coverage starting at 5 o'clock tonight as Gonzaga gets ready to take on Baylor for Gonzaga, first time since 2017, that loss to North Carolina that you referenced, 71-65. And then, but for Baylor, what, 1948, I believe, Tom? First time since that they're in the national championship game.
Yeah, and so that makes it kind of fun too, right? Somebody's going to end a drought. Us, we've never won it, and they haven't won it. And I think it's the longest, you know, drought for a Division I team since 1948. So yeah, there's a lot of historical stuff that's on the line here tonight. So that's going to be a big part of the storyline as well, for sure.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you making time for us. Thank you so much, and I know you're going to be busy getting out of there after the game, regardless of the outcome, but hopefully it's a win for Gonzaga. I'm rooting for you, buddy, rooting for the Zags tonight, and hopefully they can get it done, and you'll have a chance to call a national championship victory for Gonzaga tonight. I always appreciate the time, my friend, and think it's so cool. I mean, used to work doing TV stuff here in Junction, doing Gonzaga now, calling a second national championship game. Couldn't be prouder of you, my friend. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and it's always wonderful getting caught up, and hopefully we'll talk about a national championship here sometime later in the week.
Very good. Appreciate it. Thank you, Tom. Have a great call tonight.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim. Yeah, take care.
All right. Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga. That's right. I forgot. 2017, they played North Carolina. And momentarily forgot about that.
Well,
glad,
like,
glad
so
Tom reminded me.
The pandemic last year, I started to figure this out. It's like when you don't save a Word document.
Right.
And then shut your computer off.
Sure.
It, like, wipes memory that is not, you know, old, way locked away. It's like the last 5 years, you're like, wait, oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. That's what I'm blaming it on.
I'll take that, man. I'll take that.
Blaming it on the pandemic, wiping memories clean. It's like the little zapper in Men in Black.
Well, on that 2017 team, remember who played on that team? Josh Perkins played at Regis, if memory serves me correctly, over in the Front Range.
I'll take your word for it.
All-state basketball player for Regis over in the Denver area.
And it's a long time ago.
13 points in that national championship game. A 6-point loss to North Carolina. All right, 8:49. We'll take a break. Enjoy that conversation with Tom. We went really, really long, but that's okay.
Speaking of North Carolina and Roy Williams Championship,
we're going to have a little
good
something.
Good call, bad call.
Good call, bad call on the reason maybe why Roy Williams decided to hang up the whistle. We'll get to that next.
It all ties in together.
That's coming up next right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Colorado Sports Leader.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 8:52. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Good, the bad, the ugly. Come on, text line. Let's get it going here. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Got a good, the bad, the ugly. If you have a prediction on tonight's game, Gonzaga and Baylor, pregame starts at 5 right here on the team. So get those into us. Text or call 970-242-1340. Time for...
Was that a good call or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
All right. Last week, Roy Williams, of course, coached North Carolina against Gonzaga in that 2017 national title game. One of the three national titles that he won. Decided to hang it up at the age of 70. And Williams said in his final press conference that he felt that he was no longer the right man for the job. And so there's been some speculation. What does that mean? Why does Roy Williams not think he's the right guy for the job anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And according to USA Today's Dan Wolkin, he tweeted out that someone who knows Williams said the coach got tired of the direction of college basketball, most notably the transfer of Walker Kessler, who as a freshman didn't play a whole lot, but he started to get more time as the season went along. And, you know, his freshman season, he was a McDonald's All-American, didn't play much his freshman year, but then started to get quite a few minutes over the last month and a half of the season, and he had 5 games where he scored in double figures. And that Kessler decided, well, I'm going to transfer, because he didn't think he was getting to play enough, which he was starting to play more. So why would you...
Right.
Transfer in that case. And people like Syracuse's Jim Boeheim came out in defense of Williams, and it's crazy. The feeling is that things now with the G League and the chance for players just to go from high school to playing professional basketball to getting that chance to get paid and then get into the NBA, that you're going to see more and more frustration from coaches in regard to the transfer portal and things like the G League. Good or bad call, we're going to see more coaches maybe decide to walk away from coaching basketball, older coaches, just like Roy Williams, because of this reason.
That's probably a good call. I don't think you're going to have more necessarily walk away. You're going to have a lot more gripe about it and a lot more publicly.
More going to complain. I think you're going to see some older coaches go, okay, I'm tired of this, like Roy Williams.
And if Boeheim wants to be tired of it and retire, I'm totally fine.
I'm fine with that, too. I think you're going to hear more of an outcry. I agree with you. More of an outcry from coaches about the transfer portal and for guys going to the G League.
Yeah, probably. I have a problem with the transfer portal. I also have a problem with I'm not playing enough, so I'm out of here. I'm going to go hop around until
And he was starting to play more. That's the thing. He was starting to play more. Okay, what do you have?
Good call, bad call. Speaking of NCAA coaches, Chris Beard dropping the Tech, going from Texas Tech to Texas. After what happened to Shaka Smart, that's a bad call.
Yeah.
I think Chris Beard could get a better job than Texas.
It's not a good place to be right now.
No, it's not. That's a bad call.
I think it's a bad call on his part to take that job. All right, that's good call, bad call. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And next hour, I know we're few days into the Major League Baseball season, but we're going to talk more about some of the changes in rules in Major League Baseball this year.